It's hard to believe that this day has arrived. I imagine for many of you, it seems like just last month you were taking care of some of these folks in the nursery. Some of us watch them march around the field, run around the field, and even pray around the field with some of their friends. Those are great memories. Seniors, you're scattered everywhere now. I'm going to have to keep my eyeballs trying to find some of you. It was about 43 years ago, though, that I don't know if it's this month or next month. 43 years, I faced my own high school graduation. I remember a few things about that day. I remember it was horribly hot, and it was outside, right smack in the middle of the day when the sun was the highest, of course, right? There were about 475 of us smashed together in seats, and they gave us those black robes to wear. I remember one of our classmates, when he finally got his diploma, and we were all shocked that he got it, he did a cartwheel right on stage. I remember sitting real close to my girlfriend. She was hot, too. 5 years later, she'd become my wife. What I don't remember is one word the speaker said. Just being honest. So I don't have any, unrealistic aspirations that you guys are going to remember everything that I say up here. I get it. I understand that. But I have been praying that you're going to pick up something, and I did ridiculously write down some things, and I want to follow my script because the Lord really led me to share some of these things with you this morning, and I'm hoping that it will make a difference and be valuable to you all. Because I believe with all my heart that Christ in you can change the world for better. I really believe that. And the question really is are you willing to take that challenge and all that comes with it? That's really the question that has to be answered. It's not if, it's will you. So a few preliminary thoughts, however, as we get started. I'm going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I'll be referring to that verse a lot, and so we're going to read it here together out loud. But overall, I'm going to be moving around the Bible, but I'm going to focus mainly on Ephesians 2. And I'm also going to be using one of my favorite games growing up to help us remember and tie some things together, and that's the game of chess. Now, how many of you seniors just love the game of chess? Anybody? Okay. Are you seniors? Oh, okay. All right. Are you a senior? Oh, you're Sean. That's right. Excellent. So we want to look at that. So with that in mind, I want to read us to read together out loud. Could we? Now, I am reading from the English Standard Version so that we're not all confused. If you have the ESV, join me. I don't have it on the screen. If you don't, that's all right. I'll just read it. All right, beginning verse 10, chapter 2. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Okay, I'm going to read it again. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, in a regulation chessboard, if you've ever played, there are 64 squares. And there are 16 pieces per side, each piece specifically designed with intention and with purpose. And both sides get their full 16 pieces at the beginning of the game. And so you need to understand that right up front. The board is set, and that's the rule, and that's the way that it is. 16 pieces, not one. 16 pieces. The second word in our verse this morning is the word we. This is often misinterpreted. people tend to look at that, and I understand in America, because we have a struggle interpreting Scripture based upon our American individualistic mentalities. You know, it's all about me and how we look at Scripture. But that's really not how Paul intended. Yes, he was talking to individuals. They were hearing the text or reading the letter out loud and hearing it that way. But he was talking to the entire church. In fact, the whole letter of Ephesians is to the church. It's to a large group of people. It was about the importance of the whole group together serving, worshiping, loving. Yes, we are made up of individuals, but we were never meant to just serve alone. We are together. The point is this: God has given you and I a lot of great gifts. Gift of salvation, right? The best of all. But also, he's given us the gift of the church, one another. Now, a few years ago, there was a popular Netflix series for all those chess players out there called The Queen's Gambit. It was a story about a young orphan girl who discovers chess at an early age and helps her get along with her tough upbringing that she has. And through a lot of hard work and struggle and practice and also overcoming a ton of personal issues and baggage that she carried, she becomes one of the greatest chess players of all times. And on the way to the top, she had to learn some tough lessons. And one of the last lessons that she learned was that you can't beat the Russians by yourself. You see, back then, and even today, the Russians led the way when it came to international chess. I mean, if you were going to win the world championship, you're going to have to face them. And she tried, and she came close, but she can never do it. But she always worked alone because of her upbringing, and she didn't want anybody to hurt her and all that, so she remained closed and didn't let anyone in. But something happened. A friend came along, and she finally listened. That the only way, she says, in fact, he challenged her, says, you know why the Russians are so good? She says, they're smarter than us? No, they work together as a team. They analyze each other's games and their opponent's games, and they work at night trying to help each other win. And you will accept no help because you want to do it by yourself, and you're not going to achieve a whole lot in life that way. And so, Beth humbled herself. She realized that she could get better with the help of others. And what actually happened was because of her humbling herself and allowing others to be in her life, she won the world championship. Well, I know that's a story, but it does have a truth to it. Jesus Christ loved us. He gave himself for us. And he for his church. And he did not call us to be lone rangers. I don't find that anywhere in the Bible where you're supposed to just do it all by yourself. In fact, Scripture's more than one time says, for I am with you. I will walk with you. I will be with you. And even when the prophet got all upset that he was all alone, God said, are you kidding me? There are hundreds of prophets that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Why do you think you're all by yourself? You are not. So we have here God who allows us to work together. So if you want to make a change for the world, for Christ, seniors, and church, get connected with the body of Christ. I'll say that again. If you really want to make a change, so I'm going to burst out on my own and do my own thing. That is not how you were designed. That is not how the Bible has designed his church, for us to all run out on our own. We are designed to be together. We are better together. So if you want to make real change for the world of Christ, get connected with the body of Christ, his church. Well, if you've never played, I've mentioned earlier, there's 16 pieces. I had to think about this. There's 8 pawns, 2 bishops, 2 knights, 2 rooks. There's a queen and there's a king. That adds up to 16. And each piece looks different and has a different set of skills and abilities. Some pieces are more mobile than others. Other pieces have unique moving abilities in and of themselves. And all together, though, they have the same goal, and that is to defeat or to put the other king in checkmate. No piece, however, can work outside its designed role. There are some pieces that can only move one space at a time. They can't decide on their own that they're going to go four or five. They stay within the design and purpose and intention that they were put together. It lives and moves within the scope of that design. And Paul mentions a few of God's many pieces. There's more, but you don't have to turn, but Ephesians 4:11, you know that verse, some of you. He gave apostles, he gave prophets, he gave evangelists, he gave shepherds, he gave teachers. There are more pieces on the board. But it was the Lord who gave these and designed these, and they are all important. Now, there's going to be a temptation, though, to think that one piece is more valuable than another. It works on both sides. On one side, you got, I'm so valuable, the body of Christ can't live without me. I have so much to offer. Well, we know what that piece is. That piece is called the piece of pride. And then we have on the other side, which is just another form of pride, I'm no good. I can't offer anything. I got nothing here. I'm just a pawn. He's a queen, or he's a rook, or he's a bishop, or whatever. I'm nothing. Both are wrong. Because God doesn't make mistakes. When he designed you, when he designed me, and he gave us whatever gifts we have and whatever we, he designed it for a particular purpose. And so the chess master himself sees all and realizes that we are valuable. And guess what? He's willing to use all the pieces. In fact, I've watched some professional chess, and I've watched pawns do amazing things as we've watched the more valuable pieces in our eyes do amazing things. But they're all valuable. According to the Apostle Paul, you and I are God's workmanship. That's the word there. Who designed us? Are you still there? God's workmanship. And therefore, we already possess infinite value right there. This is extremely important because there's a lot of teenagers and adults as well that waste so much time trying to find their significance, my significance, and they try to find it in everything they can. Let's say they have trouble with relationships, so they try to find it in their skill level, whether it could be in the world of music or art or sports, and they feel that's where I'll find my significance. But that's a false chase. You're not going to find your true significance in anything that you are able to do. I'm glad you're able to play. I'm glad you can sing. I'm glad you can do all those things. But the reason you're valuable is because you are God's work. God gives you value. That's it. Seniors, you don't have to waste your time anymore. And from this day forward, trying to find value in a relationship, I need to be affirmed by this boy or by this girl or by this job. No, you don't. You need to find your affirmation in Jesus Christ. That's it. And you'll be a lot healthier with less anxiety and a much better boyfriend and girlfriend anyway. So we are God's workmanship. So if you want to change the world for Christ, know where your value comes from. And if that is the case, if your value comes from Christ, then that is the most important relationship of all. Okay? Think about next time when you analyze your week, how many hours we spend on things. Well, he says that not only are we valuable because we're God's workmanship, but we've also been given a purpose. Thank you, Jesus. It says here that we created in Christ Jesus to do whatever. That's not what the verse says, is it? For good works. It says right here, we've been created for good works. What does good works mean? Well, the great thing is that if you really want to know, you probably, many of you reading the Bible might know this, but in chapters 4 through 6 of the same letter, he gives a pretty exhaustive list of what the good works are. I'm not going to read them all. We don't have time for that. But here's just a couple. He's referring to, in chapters 4, 5, and 6, to unity. So unity is a good work. And if you're not unified, if you find yourself on the opposite side of brothers and sisters all the time, maybe you need to deal with your heart. It's about unity. And it's also serving the body of Christ. That's found all through chapters 4, 5, and 6. Are you serving? Are you active? Says, well, I got my thing over here. That's great. Are you serving in the church? Are you working with the body of Christ? That's part of good works that God has designed. We are stronger together than we are by ourselves. And then he also uses the word building up one another. That's just three of a long list, and that's just one letter. When I started learning chess, I was pretty young. My dad, for whatever reason, I don't even know how young I was. I don't think I was in school yet. Maybe I was pretty young and started teaching me all the steps to chess. And after a few years of playing a lot of games and losing most of them, I started to get better and better and better, you know, and the smiles come on my face a little bit more. I discovered in the newspaper there was something more than the comic strips. There was a section in that newspaper every day that had to do with getting tips from chess masters, some kind of a chess move that they did or instructions. It was always there. I don't know if they do it anymore, but it was in our newspaper. And so I started reading that and reading it more and more. It was like my own personal instructional manual. And guess what happened when I started doing that and trying some of those moves? I was beating my dad. Yeah, and he didn't play with much of me anymore after that. I mean, when you're 8, 9-year-olds beating you up pretty good, right? I don't remember how old I was. And I was working hard on beating my brothers. Of course, they're smarter than me, so that was even a bigger challenge, right? But I had this manual, and I was able to look at it. Well, in Ephesians 4 through 6, that's exactly what you have. I want you to understand that. God has given you a great newspaper. And the manual for knowing what good works are and how to live is here in chapters 4 through 6 of Ephesians. You can find it for yourself. And if you'll just dig into that like you would a newspaper comic strip every day, whatever the thing is that you like, maybe it's gardening or whatever. If you dig into that, God's going to be able to share with you exactly how you can make your next move. What do I do in this situation? Guess what? The Word of God has something for you if you're wondering. It will help you in that manner. So if you want to change the world for Christ, you got to follow the manual. Okay? There are a lot of books written on God's will and all that. And I remember in college, oh my goodness, I got to the place, honestly, I wanted to run the other way when someone started the conversation. I don't understand it. God has given you his will here. It's clear. I understand the discussions because people are always saying, well, I don't know if I'm supposed to be a plumber, a carpenter, a lawyer, or a dog catcher. Okay. That's all right. Why are you worrying about that? Why don't you pursue after God, follow the manual, and he'll come find you. What? That's why, pal, I'm going to do it again for the seniors that are here. I'm going to do it one more time. I know y'all are after a major. Praise God. Don't be squished by that. I was a PE major. What in the world am I doing here? That's what Dawn keeps asking. I don't know. And I changed my major 5 times. By the way, parents, that's very expensive. Yeah, I got a brick in a part of a building named after me at Cedarville, so. Yeah. We worry about that too much. I think it's great to have a major. You should. You need to graduate, do all that. But don't limit God. That's what you're going to do all your life. That's what I'm saying. God, the great chess master, has given you specific design and abilities and all kinds of things have poured into you, and he knows where you are. Do you realize? Study the great characters of the Bible that we put up there. Abraham, David, Elijah, and we got Paul and all that. I don't think one of them went after God. He came after them. He knew exactly where they were. And the Lord showed up. What you want to be, senior, is in a good place when he shows up. So we have this whole thing. If you really want to change the world for Christ, you gotta follow this. But I got one more thing, and we're almost done here. Hard to believe. There's more to say on this, but I'm just going to give you our design is unique. Purpose is clear. Chess Master uses us. Here's the thing. Are you listening? I don't want you to miss this part. The Chess Master will use us any way he wishes. This is a hard one. Because, see, you and I have a design in our head how things should go. If I do this for God, I'm going to be blessed this way, this way, this way, this way, and this way, and this way. Have you read Christian history? Doesn't seem to always work out that way. And I'll tell you what, just watching the chess masters and how they are willing to sacrifice any piece on the board, including the queens. I've seen them run their queen completely in danger. I'm going, what in the world are you doing? She's the most powerful piece on the board. And yet he sacrificed her. Why? To set up a scenario that would trap the opponent, and he would end up winning. See, we don't and never will understand how God always works. He's the master. Sometimes he shares, and sometimes he doesn't. And we can't always make sense out of it. But you can know one thing. God prepared for it according to the verse. Those works beforehand, those good works that we're supposed to follow, long before you and I were born, he prepared those good works for his church, things that we're supposed to follow, that we should walk in them. But the walking in them, we don't know exactly what might happen. So here is the fourth imperative. If you want to change this world for Christ, are you ready? Trust God in all things. You got to go there. Because I'm telling you, it doesn't make no sense at all sometimes. Most of you heard of the names Roger Yudarian. Probably don't know that one too well. Pete Fleming. Not yet. Some of you might. Ed McCauley. Not yet. Some of you maybe. How about this one? Jim Elliott. Nate Saint. Are you with me now? These guys, five guys, love Christ with all their heart. They're in their 20s. They got young families. It's like, this is the best thing since sliced bread. We're sacrificing everything. They left and they served and they get wiped out. I got to tell you, from human eyes, these guys are not pawns to me. I'm looking at things humanly. You understand what I'm saying right now? Humanly, they're all like rooks and knights and bishops and maybe even a queen. They're amazing. It doesn't matter. The great chess master, our Lord and Savior, moves his pieces how he wills according to his will. And he does it for his glory and our good. And we can't always understand. And the issue is not at hand is not whether we understand, but whether we trust. There are going to be times, and it might come up soon, it might even come up this summer, it might come up today, I do not know, seniors and everyone else, where you are going to be faced with some very difficult choices, and that's just going to be the beginning. There's going to be more of them next week, next month, next year, and at the end of the day, you're going to ask yourself the question, do I trust the God and the Word? Am I going to follow it, or am I going to follow culture? Because culture is definitely not a part in following this word of God at all. So I end with this. I start off by asking you the question, are you willing to take the challenge of making a difference for Christ and all that comes with it? We talked about connecting, about knowing, about following, and about trusting. And here's the truth of the matter. You've heard it before, but I hope you're listening now. The world is not fair. You could do everything right on your side, and the world could mistreat you. You could still lose jobs. You could still get sick. Bad things can still happen. I'm sorry, there is no Disney ending in everything on this side of heaven. It's not the way it works. Our own American culture, listen carefully, seniors, is becoming less and less friendly to Christianity. This means that you're going to have to make tough choices in the days ahead. Are you going to trust and follow God? Or are you going to get sucked into the new Christianity, which is a synchronized Christianity that has nothing to do with the God of the Bible? And you've got to make that choice. And it's hard because sometimes even the people we look up to and see, we realize they're not fully committed to Christ either. They're playing a role, but it's not a disciple. So God is giving you this challenge, and I know you can do it. That's the exciting thing. You don't have to wait till you're 60-some years old. You can make a difference for Christ today, right now. If you take that challenge, I want you to remember this, seniors. Jesus Christ is already declared checkmate at the cross. It's over. Devil's been defeated. Sin doesn't get the last word. Christ has won the victory. And he's calling you now to join the game, being a part of humbly trusting and obeying his call. Are you ready to do your part, seniors? Are you ready to step up to the plate? How about you, Mom and Dad? It's not too late for us either, is it? Never too late. How about you, Grandma and Grandpa? Great Grandma and Grandpa, I'll stop there. It's never too late for us either. We serve a living Savior. Would you pray with me, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. We're going to sing a song here in a moment. And as they come forward and prepare for that, I just want to have us all just do a little business with God. Maybe somewhere along the way, the Holy Spirit tugged at you, something said or something sung, something read or something prayed. I would encourage you to do business with the Lord right now and say, as for me, in my heart, and the family God gives me, we will serve the Lord. He will be priority. No plain cultural Christianity. It's Christ alone, him first. So I would call to you, even now, to make your choice. Father in heaven, this morning, as we come to you, we humble ourselves. We realize that in the midst of all of this, this great celebration, we have a great task ahead, but we have a great chess master, and we must trust him and obey him as he moves the pieces around the board according to his will for our ultimate good and his glory. And though we do not understand you, we do want to trust you. So I pray even now, Lord, that as you move in our hearts, that decisions are made, that at the end of the day, we can declare we will serve the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.